It is that time, ladies and gentlemen. It is Saturday morning. We are the 47%, and we are the 99%. And, of course, we support Sea Shepherd. Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of NDB Media's Sports Talk with the guys.
Home of the money-winning quarterbacks
on Saturday. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's very incredibly painful when you try to do it when you're not in the presence of your compatriot. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, he's the score. I'm the scorekeeper, and he's the big dog. What's up?
Doing pretty good. We almost had it, actually. Had you not paused in the middle of that, we actually started perfectly. But I know we're on about a two-second delay, so you thought I was a little bit off. Next time.
Yeah, because of that one-second delay. And there's elegant proof for that, big dog. Of course, I want to welcome everyone live and in the archive. Don't forget to listen to us at ndbmedia.net. Or go to the website, twitter.com/NDB Media. And we've got some good stuff on the horizon, ladies and gentlemen. We've got breaking news, lots of stuff going on, a world of sports to talk about. Yeah, since the big dog's not here, I had to prepare and actually do some stuff. So, by God Almighty, I'm actually prepared. And I want to welcome everyone in the chat room. And don't forget, register at blogtalkradio.com, take on a persona and be someone. And engage us in the interactive chat room.
Ooh, good. I got the chill. But I am here, though.
I'm glad, big dog. I'm glad you got it. That's the first time you actually get the chills from being so far. Thank God you didn't show up this morning. I got to tell you, I must have been thinking of Mariano Rivera last night signing with the Yankees because, oh, man, oh, man. Wow. I woke up to a surprise this morning. Oh, baby.
Are you in your underoos again?
You know, big dog.
I love you too.
Well, I don't have underoos, but it's close. I have Yankee underwear. I do. What, did that scare you?
No, not at all.
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, it's all I'm going to get into some of the things about Marvin Miller later. We really didn't get a chance earlier. But, Big Dog, I'm not sure if you caught the funeral services for Hector Camacho yesterday in New York.
No, I did not. I know the funeral services were yesterday. Yeah. It was in two different sessions, and that was for the family. And today they're having a mass for the public, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. I do apologize. There was a funeral service. There was a procession yesterday. And it was interesting. This next commentary that I have, Big Dog, for you is something that actually originated with Mrs. Scorekeeper. Because I was commenting about the funeral, the procession, and how everyone is coming out of the woodwork, apparently. There are these women that are saying that, oh, he was my man, I was his woman, and it was at least two or three different times. And, of course, as I understand it, Hector is divorced, but the divorcee, or divorced one, I don't know, I never passed that part of English class or legal class, and she and the family apparently had to accept donations because of my snide remark to my wife, well, of course, everyone is coming out of the woodwork to get part of Hector's money, which my wife said, there is no money. It's gone. He doesn't have money left. But the family had to accept donations to the funeral services.
I hadn't heard that. Yeah, that's true. That part I hadn't heard. I did hear the part about the girlfriends fighting, but that, of course, was down in Puerto Rico. That was not here.
That's correct.
They already had the funeral mass in Puerto Rico, and what it was is, let's see if I have it here, it was his girlfriend who's been with him, she said, for the last couple of years, and evidently they had to be separated. She actually had, there's actually pictures of her with scratch marks just on her clavicle, just below the neck. Of the girlfriend that said she's been the girlfriend for the last 25 years. Evidently got into a scuffle after the girlfriend of just a couple of years kissed Camacho on the mouth in his casket, and then walked over to the pews where the family was sitting. And no one knows exactly what happened, but she said that the other girlfriend came up to her and said, "I'm Camacho's girlfriend. I'm Macho's girlfriend. You need to leave." And when she said no, all of a sudden the plate of food that she had, that she said was thrown, and they started fighting. And also, there was pushing and shoving between former bantamweight champion Wilfredo Vasquez and Jorge Lozada, who says he's a member of Camacho's family. It says after Lozada allegedly tried to separate Vasquez's wife and Camacho's mother as the two embraced. So there were many fights, you know. As we all know, Mr. Camacho was very colorful and loved a lot of hoopla in his life, in his boxing career. And I guess even in his death, in his wake, there still has to be some sort of drama, I guess. And I guess it just went hand in hand.
Yeah, amazing, Big Dog. It's funny how you would say that, and you coined it so well. It's so true. Even in death, the gentleman is colorful. And, you know, Big Dog, it's something that I've always known of Hector, not so Macho Camacho. And you know, everyone listening knows that I'm not a boxing fan. But I was genuinely saddened by his passing. And I don't know if it's because I am of the Hispanic background, means, whatever you want to say, or if it's someone that I really actually had a connection to and am disappointed he is gone because of what you said over the last few weeks and the last few years. There just ain't anyone else, Big Dog. And, of course, I'm paraphrasing, ladies and gentlemen. The Big Dog never says ain't. I always say ain't to connect with the brain-dead runts of NDB Media. That's like 2 weeks in a row now, Big Dog, that I insult the listening audience. Huh?
No, it's been more than 2 weeks.
It is Saturday morning, ladies and gentlemen, and we love everyone here on NDB Media. But it's something that you've been saying for some time now, Big Dog, about there's just no one in boxing anymore. I got to tell you, the most exciting boxing thing was when the guy from CNN, that English guy, interviewed Mike Tyson on the program. I don't know what the hell it's called, but, you know, that English guy from CNN.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Speaking of Mike Tyson, did you know he's going on Broadway and he has a one-man show? Mike Tyson, of all people?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
What's it called? Let me have your ear.
Very good, Scorekeeper. You know, I was laughing so much I didn't even notice the name of it, but I know it's Mike Tyson, and it's coming actually here to Los Angeles, the Pantages Theater, for a couple of months or a month or so, and he evidently has the one-man show, and it's a story about his life, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know how it's going to go, but it is what it is, I guess.
Yes, Big Dog, it is what it is. I could also see him doing another thing where he could have been Brutus or Cassius. And, of course, when they give the speech after the death of Caesar, "Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears." You know, that genuinely sparks fear in the people playing the roles as well as the audience. I mean, it's, like, frightening, but all right. That was a lame follow-up to the good one, right?
Oh, man. Oh, no, hear not this. At all.
Hear this, Big Dog. And Batman. I miss having you here today, Big Dog, but you know we are having severe technical difficulties here at NDB Media World Headquarters, which apparently with no internet connection is world nothing.
Yes, we're technical difficulties. That's why I am here. And in fact, we have someone in the chat room. I am looking for his intro in the music.
No, I have it over here. No, I have it over here. Who are we looking at?
Señor Cuervo.
Yeah, we've got Cuervo's intro. It's in, yeah, that one's in the chat room, or in the thing.
It's called Cuervo's Welcome or something like that.
Yeah, I'm looking for it.
I don't know. I'm not there.
You know, there is one other bit of boxing news before we go on, and I'll give that to you right now as soon as I... here we go, one second.
Oh, you didn't know! Oh, you didn't know! Your ass better call somebody!
And there it is. I love that intro. Probably the best intro that we've got so far.
Yes, and I have to give in my obligatory, I hate couch potato.
The other bit of news that I did have... go ahead.
Yeah. No, I have to say that every day because there's some truth to that. I mean, I talk about it all the time. So now every time we play that intro, I have to put in my obligatory line of I hate couch potato.
The other boxing news I had is that the gloves from two of Muhammad Ali's biggest fights are among items being auctioned off by the estate of former trainer Angelo Dundee. One set of gloves was worn by Ali when he beat Sonny Liston for the title in a huge upset in 1964, while the other set is from the fight of the century loss at Madison Square Garden in 1971 to Joe Frazier. Dundee's son Jim said the gloves had been stored in a safety deposit box since the fights. They are among more than 100 items that the family is selling in an online sale at SCP Auctions. It says on Thursday, each set of gloves had been bid up to at the time $241,577. The auction, which also features gloves from Sugar Ray Leonard's infamous No Moss fight with Roberto Duran in 1980 and other Ali memorabilia, ends Friday, I believe it's next week, at scpauctions.com. Jim Dundee said the money from the sale would help pay expenses for his sister Terry, who suffers from multiple sclerosis, and some of the money will go to the Ali Foundation, the Muhammad Ali Foundation.
I appreciate that, Big Dog. I actually missed that one. And when I say I missed, I didn't write that one down. I caught part of it, and I was thinking to myself, And this is true, ladies and gentlemen. Well, not that I was thinking to myself, but about the Big Dog. I got to tell you, over the last year, year and a half, the Big Dog has been carrying this program. There's no doubt about it. And he seems to always have everything.
I'm not going to stop.
Stop.
You know who I wanted to tell stop yesterday? It was Tanya.
It was so funny when she says, yeah, you know, when you and Peter started up NDB Media, I'm like, oh, no.
You stop right there, Tanya.
Yeah, it's all you.
Ah, cut it out. So don't tell me to stop. I'll tell you when to stop. I'm going to tell Tanya when to stop. But, hey, I do have a little bit of breaking news, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to be alluding to it. The Big Dog does know about this, but I did contact Tanya Mercado after her program yesterday. And on her program in January, I will be an invited guest, not co-host. And I will be talking about something incredibly personal that has happened to me over the last 3 years. I am ready to talk about it, and we will be talking about it. It is something that people need to know, and I feel it is appropriately the time to speak about it. Unfortunately, it is something that happens more often than not to women, but in this case, it does happen to men too, and we have to deal with it as well. And that's going to be on Raise Your Glass in January. We're not in negotiations. We're just blindly choosing the calendar. We're looking at the calendar, so we're going to do it. But, yes, I will be a guest, and it is something of an incredibly personal nature. And it's going to be a tough subject, but I feel it's something that needs to be shared. So, anyway, we're going to move forward. It's part of the healing process, Big Dog. I think you know that, right?
Yes, it is, and I need you to do a promo from your side. or not promo, but I need intro song. I need Couch's intro. Couch is in the house.
All right. Damn it. Hold on.
And while you're getting that ready, Corvo says, congratulations to Stanford. They are smelling roses this morning. And, of course, tough win. Stanford beat UCLA last Thursday, and, of course, by winning the Pac-12 championship, they, of course, will be going to the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all. And, of course, they're going to be talking about that on campus with Corvo, the championship edition today at Blob Talk Radio. Just go ahead and link on that. I believe they start at 7:30, if I'm not mistaken. Corvo or Couch, help me out on that one. I'm not sure what exactly your start time. I believe it's 7:30 today. Correct me if I'm wrong, please. And of course,
I'm sure they will.
Seven a.m. today, guys. Sorry about that, Corvo. Sorry about that, Couch. They will be starting at 7 o'clock. I want to thank you. Welcome all guests in the chat room, along with Couch and Corvo. Couch, how are you doing today, buddy?
Who's there?
I'm asking Couch how he's doing today.
Yeah, okay. Let me do my obligatory line to him. His name is Couch. Potatoes in the house this morning. Oh, yeah, he is the hardest working man in the world. Yes, he's there this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, if I did sound teary-eyed when I was saying that one, I was indeed, because it hurts when I sing it. So there you go, Big Dog. And by the way, Big Dog, you're in the alternate NDB Media. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to tell you that NDB Media is in disaster mode. We are on DEFCON 2 right now. Yes, I said DEFCON 2, not DEFCON 1, but we are in DEFCON 2. The vice president of NDB Media has been moved to a secure location. He is there. I'm at the original site, but we don't have internet access because we are under attack. And the vice president is ready to take over in the event that NDB Media does go off the air. So that's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. And that's why we're at different locations. But my computer is still up and running. I feel like Terminator 3. I put in my key and a little monitor turns on. It was kind of cool.
So we can't tell you where, you know, we can't give out the location where you're at?
I'm at NDB World. I said you. You're at the secured location.
Okay.
You're my Dick Cheney. That's why you're at a secured location.
So anyway,
yeah,
but we don't have Air Force 2 or Marine 2 or anything, but anyway, it's all good.
So that's why we are having a few issues. But a Big Dog, my point is that I have my video screen up, and that's the only damn thing I haven't working this morning. So I have the music ready to go at a second's notice. Ladies and gentlemen, there's an incredible amount of baseball news that we're going to go over, but I'm going to be following the Big Dog's lead because we are not in the same place. I do want to say that there is a big game today. Number 2, Alabama, 11-1 versus Georgia, number 3, 11-1 at 4 Eastern time from the Georgia Dome. It's going to be pretty big. And
that's nice, Big Dog.
I'm sorry?
That's a huge game. And, of course, the winner will be facing Notre Dame for the championship of that Bama versus who are they playing again?
Alabama
Georgia.
Versus Georgia.
Yes. Of course, that is also for the SEC championship. Of course, they are both 11-1, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
Yes, and the winner of that, as I said, the winner of that game, everybody's predicting it to be Alabama to face Notre Dame, which to me would be the right way to do it, the number one versus team versus the number two team. And, of course, that would happen, of course, the first week of January, depending on where the bowl game's at. I'm not sure exactly where the BCS is at this year. It is a rotating place. So I'm not exactly sure where we'll be this year. But any predictions from you, scorekeeper, on who's going to win that one?
This is college, Big Dog. You're kidding me, right?
No. I mean, you've been more of a college person than I in the last few weeks. So,
say who?
And thanks, Cuervo. It is in Miami, the Orange Bowl. That will be the place of the BCS Championship this year. So who's going to win today?
Yeah, anyway, sure, whatever, Big Dog.
All right, we have a caller to me. Oh, caller does not want in yet. Never mind.
Wait a minute. Is the caller from the 205 area code?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Brian. See, I know that's Brian. And he listens in because he travels a lot. And, well, if you want to make a forced entry, you know what to do.
Well, on behalf of you, I will do that. Brian, how are you doing today?
I'm good, guys. How's it going?
Oh, just fine. Perfect timing. We're just starting to talk about college football. The big game today, of course, happening today. And, of course, as we said, the winner will be going to the Orange Bowl for the championship. So, of course, who is your prediction, Bama or Georgia? I know the answer to that one.
Well, I hate to say it, but I think it's Alabama, you know, gets it done today. I'll be pulling for Georgia, though. You know, being an Auburn fan, I can't pull for Alabama, but my logic tells me Alabama and a big win today.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's what everybody's predicting. So we'll see if they can get it done today, and I'm pretty sure they will be able to get it done. But, surprises can happen. I mean, it's happened before, so, they're too good of a team to be looking past Georgia, but you never know. I mean, who knows what can happen?
Well, I think the teams this year, you know, like I don't think Alabama is as good this year as they were last year, and that showed in that Texas A&M game and also the LSU game. So if any time you're going to beat Alabama, this is the year to do it, but I just don't think Georgia's disciplined enough to make it happen.
And there you have it, folks, the resident college pro giving his prediction. Scorekeeper, what has he got to say?
I agree.
What's up, Roger?
Hey, just here at NDB Media World Headquarters, which has gone dark. There's no internet today. It looks like the modem is out, or I didn't pay my bill. I don't know which one, but the lights are on. And there's just no transmission, so I've got to believe that it's, you know, because the phone lines are down too, and I'm really disappointed. We did have some other damage on the first rain, so I'm pissed. That's all I can say is I'm pissed. So we'll see what's going to happen. You know, it's funny, I'm pissed, but my daughter Ariel just hates me right now. Oh, my God, does she.
Oh, because there's no internet?
Yeah. It's like I grounded her. And seeing her, you know, saying, what? We might have it on Tuesday? It was like when Frodo flipped out or when Bilbo Baggins flipped out when he wanted the ring again. My God, I saw Bilbo in her. You know, it's like when she reached for the ring. It's like, oh, my God. It was unbelievable. But anyway. Kind of find it amusing. Because, I mean, what are you going to do? I've already been through this before. Where, remember about a year and a half ago, Big Dog, when the modem failed on me?
Yes, I do.
So I've already been through that. So it's like, whatever. This time I'm just pretty casual about it.
This would have been the perfect situation for you, scorekeeper, to be the superhero dad. See, what you should have told her was it's going to be like a week or two, maybe longer before the internet comes back, and then get it back on Tuesday, and they... Look what Dad did. I got it back so much faster because I, you know, complained or whatever.
Okay, first of all, thank you. That would have been Scotty's line in Star Trek where he says, you know, I could have it up for you in 4 weeks, but instead I'll do it for you in 2 hours, you know, that kind of line. Big Dog, I'm a realist. I'm not going to BS my daughters.
Okay.
But you're right. It was a missed opportunity, ladies and gentlemen. Most definitely a missed opportunity. But, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of good stuff going on in sports. I know we're really on our way. And there's some good college stuff going on. Of course, you can get some detail on the upcoming college programs, as mentioned, heretofore. Woo! I think I screwed that one up. I didn't use that one correctly, but I don't care. Still sounded good.
Actually, Brian, were you surprised on Friday's game, or yes, last night's game between Stanford and UCLA that it was as close as it was? Where Stanford won 27-24?
No, I wasn't surprised. I thought both UCLA and Stanford, they both surprised me this year with how physical they played. And UCLA especially, they played great last night. They could have won the game, but Stanford losing everything they lost, I'm very shocked that they made it, you know, to the Rose Bowl. So kudos to those guys. They play SEC-style football.
Yes, they do. Of course, I was pulling for UCLA. That is my team, so I was really disappointed that they couldn't pull that one out. I was really hoping they would go to the Rose Bowl. They haven't been there for a few years now. Of course, that's home turf for them. But it is what it is. Hopefully they get a bid somewhere, but we'll have to wait and see on that one. And, yeah, congrats to Stanford. You know, the number 8 seed beat the number 16 seed as it should have, and they did. They got the job done that they were supposed to get done.
Well, I'm impressed with UCLA's coach, Mora. I think as long as he stays at UCLA, you guys are just going to keep getting better and better. It's probably be next year you guys could go to the Rose Bowl.
Oh, that would be nice. It's been a few years, you know, the UCLA football team has been in disarray for a lot of years. And, yeah, Coach Mora is starting to turn it around. They had a nice showing this year. Of course, they beat SC finally after, was it 12 straight years or something like that, that they had lost. So hopefully the horizon is looking a lot brighter for UCLA and its team in the future. Scorekeeper, any comments, or you want to go to a different sport? You want to go to baseball? There's a lot of stuff happening in baseball.
Yes, there is a lot of stuff going on. And, ladies and gentlemen, I do have a little bit of breaking news. This was a moment in history. On this day, in 1929, on December 1st, bingo was invented. Continue, Big Dog.
Well, of course, the biggest to come out of baseball this week, of course, is the steroids Hall of Fame ballots came out this week. And, of course, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Sammy Sosa are on the list. It's a 37 players are on the ballot this year. It was announced on Wednesday. Of course, more than 600 members of the Baseball Writers Association of America are going to vote next month. And, of course, you need 75% to get induction into the Hall. Of course, this is going to be a big one. They've already put feelers out and to some of the writers out there, and it does not look like Bonds, Clemens, or Sosa are going to have enough votes to get in. They pulled about 200 writers randomly, two of the 600. So they pulled about a third of the writers out there. And they failed to get more than, I believe, with 15% of the writers said they would vote for them. So it doesn't look good for them. Of course, there are some holdovers. The top holdover candidates are Jack Morris, Jeff Bagwell, and Tim Raines. And other first-timers are Craig Biggio, Mike Piazza, Curt Schilling, amongst others. Scorekeeper, since you are the resident baseball expert, wanted to go down real quick and get your yeses or nos on some of these players. If anybody wants to agree or disagree, please let it be heard. You ready?
Knock yourself out, Big Dog.
Sandy Alomar.
No.
Okay. Jeff Bagwell.
Yes.
Okay. Craig Biggio.
two assholes at the same time.
Yes.
Oh, there's a third one now. Barry Bonds.
No.
Jeff Cirillo?
No. Even though we played against him in high school, that's the guy. My God, he's finally been retired 5 years. Hey, Javi,
yes.
Javier Lopez. Dude, I know you were a sophomore and closed your eyes when you hit the home run against him, but you did. Dude, this guy was a senior throwing 90-some miles an hour. We were sophomores on our team. But Javi hit it out. He hit it out, baby. Sophomore nailed it off or shall I say, a sophomore nailed Jeff Cirillo. And not in the way that he wants to brag about.
I'm pretty sure that happened many, many, many times. Royce Clayton.
No.
Okay, Roger Clemens.
No.
Jeff Carney.
Jeff Carney, no.
Steve Finley.
I didn't hear that. Seriously, who was that?
Steve Finley.
No.
Julio Franco.
I need a lifeline on that one, so I'll pass. We'll come back
okay.
to that one.
All right, Sean Green.
No.
Roberto Hernandez.
No.
Robert. Okay, Ryan Klitschko.
No.
Okay, Kenny Lofton.
No.
Edgar Martinez.
That's a no.
Don Mattingly.
No.
This is his 13th year on the ballot, by the way. Fred McGriff.
Don Mattingly, ladies and gentlemen, let's put it down right here, right now. Don Mattingly, although a fine Yankee and he had a fine career, he does not, repeat, does not have Hall of Fame numbers. Just deal with it, people. I've already said this over and over. People think I'm in denial, going to celebrate when he gets elected into the Hall of Fame. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if Don Mattingly gets elected into the Hall of Fame, then, look, his numbers are good, but they're not Hall of Fame credentials. So that's why. Hey, he's my favorite player. So is Ron Guidry. Ron Guidry will never make the Hall of Fame.
All right. Before we go on, we do have a caller from the 972 area code. Caller, how you doing?
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's sunny. I'm just waking up, getting my head. I got the cup of Joe. Looking at the Hall of Fame guys and Biggio and Schilling. Those are my picks.
Yeah, I figure Schilling. Biggio, of course, scorekeeper agreed with you on that one. Let's see. We were at Mattingly. Fred McGriff.
How many wins, Big Dog, how many wins does Schilling have?
I don't have the numbers. I only have the candidates, their seasons, and the years on the ballot. Unfortunately, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I don't have that.
All right.
What were you looking for, scorekeeper? I might have it.
I will withhold my vote on Schilling right now only because of all the bad press. Sonny, he may get into the Hall of Fame, but he will not get into the Hall of Fame within this year or next year. All that bad stuff has got to pass first.
Oh, about his outside business venture?
Yeah. It will look very bad for baseball to elect him to the Hall of Fame, knowing that he stole $90 million from the state and all this other stuff. So I know he didn't steal, but you know what I'm talking about.
That's a tough thing. It's just hard for me. I heard that, and I'm sure scorekeeper will correct me if I'm wrong. I heard a stat yesterday. postseason games, I think he's like 11-2, ERA 2.2 something, and you know, and that's in 19 starts in postseason. I find that very impressive. Forget about the other accolades. I look at postseason. I mean, that's what I think that's what makes you a Hall of Famer as well, is what you do in the postseason.
But you know, interestingly enough, postseason careers don't count, because there are quite a few players that never actually taste the postseason, which is really an amazing statistic, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at it. The chances of you actually making the postseason are nil, and so few players ever get to even go there more than once, and it's amazing how many people actually do. But,
yeah.
Sonny, I understand what you say, and I appreciate that argument, but I know as per the rules,
It's not supposed to count, actually. So, but it's incredibly difficult to ignore those numbers. And I think the sports writers do not ignore those numbers.
I think you're right. You know, Curt Schilling is kind of like a guy, a scorekeeper, that reminds me of your favorite NBA player, Allen Iverson. Before I really looked at the stats, their scorekeeper, I was like, the hell with this guy. What do you mean Hall of Fame numbers? And then I went and looked. I went, holy crap, this guy is a Hall of Famer. And that hurt me to say it because we know the love that we have for that guy. But you looked at the numbers, you went, holy crap, this guy is a Hall of Famer, although he is Wonder Woman to you and to your dear heart.
Well, actually, the Allen Iverson thing actually came up due to what was it, the receiver from the Giants?
Plaxico Burress.
Yeah, Plaxico Burress. That's where it came out. And then we had a whole bunch of players being stupid.
But
and,
you know, but you think about it, you know, if you just kind of think about Allen Iverson, just think about him.
No.
You don't think this guy, you know, stood
no.
above the rest in a lot of things, but really, once you looked at the numbers and compared him to Hall of Fame, compared him to Hall of Famers who are already, not only is he at that, he's above a lot of them, and you know, gosh, I hate that. And it's the same thing with Curt Schilling. I'm not a great big fan, although he really helped the whole situation in Arizona, along with Randy Johnson and them winning the World Series. So, you know, it was something that I kind of looked at and it was like, well, you know, as much as I hate to say it and I got to suck it up, he's a Hall of Famer. Same thing with Schilling. Another one was Randy Johnson, Nolan Ryan, Sandy Koufax are four pitchers who've struck out 300 batters three times in their career, and so did Schilling. So, yeah, there's another stat to kind of look at, too.
Very good. All righty. You ready to keep going, scorekeeper? Anthony?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What was that?
Yeah.
With Allen Iverson.
I mean, what an insult. When you actually think about Allen Iverson, come on! When you actually think about Allen Iverson, who the hell in their right mind, other than the local hole in Philadelphia, would think of Allen Iverson?
Oh.
Come on, Sonny.
Well, no, we were talking. See, I know, but when I think I was listening someplace where they were saying this guy's a Hall of Famer, and I'm like, what?
It certainly wasn't us.
I don't remember it. And then you look at the numbers, it's almost undeniable, and I know, but it just kind of sucks.
Okay,
yeah.
Hold on a minute here. Hold on a minute. Sonny says undeniable. Oh, Brian, was I set up on that one or what?
I don't know. Here we go.
Was I set up on
actually,
that one or what, Brian? See, hold on a minute.
Actually, Brian's gone.
No, because you know what? Character takes a lot into it. And the guy was a punk on and off the field. So all I say is this. If I had a chance to vote for Allen Iverson, I will not tell you what my vote is because I don't have a vote, so I'm not going to bother. But thank goodness I don't have a vote in the NBA stuff. That's the big dog's realm of realms. I don't know.
Well, big dog. Being the resident NBA man that you are, is Allen Iverson. You know, take the way that he's a punk thug idiot that no one can stand to look at for more than 5 seconds. Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yeah. Much as I hate to admit it, too, yes, he does have Hall of Fame numbers. The points alone, you know, what he did, I mean, he single-handedly, I mean, took that Philadelphia team on his back to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they didn't beat the Lakers, but I mean, who else on the team was there besides him?
Absolutely.
So yeah, I mean, I don't like the guy either. The guy with the pompous ass who thinks the world revolves around him, but
and that's impossible.
He does have a number.
The world revolves around me.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there had been a camera on Ustream, you would have seen me here in NDB Media World Headquarters. I'm actually lounging in my Yankee pullover that I have, my black pullover that was given to me by Joe Cabral. Thanks, buddy. Oh, my God, it's beautiful. And I actually had my eyes closed. I think I had my legs propped up on the desk. And the minute Sonny said, no, the world revolves around me, my eyes snapped open. I was like, oh, thank God Ustream wasn't here to catch that image.
Especially since you said you're in there, you're sitting in there in your Yankee underwear.
No, I do not have Yankee underwear. I have Yankee boxers. And thank you for that, Bernardo Osuna of ESPN.
Oh, see now you ruined my question, because I was about to say, are they boxers? Are they briefs? Are they thongs? Or is it a G-string? But you ruined it.
Boxers, dude. They're boxers. By the way, the only woman outside of my wife to purchase boxers for me, her name was Blanca Duarte, and she purchased Mickey Mouse boxers for me. And I'm like, what the hell?
That's better than elephant boxers.
Oh, that's funny, Sonny. That's good. But, yeah, I actually still have them. I have them, and I will actually take a picture of them on Facebook. I mean, I've had those boxers before.
No, thank you.
My
I don't need to see your elephant underwear.
No! Mickey Mouse boxers.
I know.
Trust me. I don't fit in those boxers anymore. Man, those were purchased for me when I was 5'11 and weighed 180. I think I've added 60 pounds to that now, all 40.
So many jokes. Too bad this is a PG show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mickey Mouse boxers. How bad is that?
When's joke night?
This Tuesday, by the way.
This Tuesday? You didn't tell me that.
Well, if you were here...
Right. I got to get on to Facebook and get a hold of Mr. Maggot.
It's actually listed on the show program, but I don't have it access to the internet, so I can't point out anything to you.
I've got to try to be there for that.
Gentlemen, I invite everyone and anyone, because Tuesday is going to be holiday joke night. So the challenge on this one is you got to bring your best holiday jokes.
Oh, no. Holiday jokes? Okay.
But no, I mean, that should not dissuade anyone from bringing their regular jokes. I'm just saying that since it's the holiday season, we got to bring the best holiday jokes. We used to do themes before, Sonny, but then when AJ showed up, screw the themes, we just went maggot.
Well, the thing is, though, I actually have a website that has dirty holiday jokes, so no. You're not out of the woods yet.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can't wait till Brian tells a dirty joke. I've never heard that man because he's a Southern gentleman, and speaking hemispherically, I don't understand what Southern means. But nevertheless, I can't wait for Brian to tell us a few jokes.
Well, and since it's holiday, you know, our friend up north will probably do some Barney holiday jokes or something.
Oh, my God, the ones that he's been posting as of late. Tim has got a funny bone in him that's broken because he just keeps putting them up, dude. But, yeah, it's joke night. It's not rated maggot. It's a holiday theme, but that doesn't mean it's only going to be holidays. I think it's kind of cool that we challenge ourselves to get those kind of jokes. But, Sonny, my goodness, if you have jokes, you show on up. And I want to hear the We Are the World jokes, dude. I love them from you.
We Are the World.
We lost Brian, didn't we, Big Dog?
Yes, we did. Yeah, we lost him about 5-7 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's why there was...
Yeah, he says I have a million jokes to tell, at least in the chat room he made that statement. So
was that Cuervo or was that Brian?
Brian.
Oh, cool. Well, then, guys, really, the invitation is, and we actually may go 2 hours on that one. We really might, because we've generally been going an hour. It makes it quick, makes it fast, makes it awesome. That's a guy thing, you know, make it quick. But I think we're going to be in the holiday mood, so we're going to take a little bit longer this time. So we'll see. My wife always says, yeah, whatever. It's only your radio programs that take a long time.
That was the first joke, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I
Sonny, the joke is it's not a joke.
That, yep, there you go. I actually listened to it on download, and because I either A, forget about it Tuesday night, I'm probably staring off into space or something, and I completely forget the show that is on. So I usually have to get it in download. I was listening to one, I think it was a couple weeks ago, on the I caught the last like 10 minutes of it in my, so I had to go ahead and download it, and it's pretty funny stuff. So get on over and listen to that. I like that.
I appreciate that. But, Sonny, I will not argue the staring off into space line. That one is true. I will never argue that one. But the thing is, with Sonny, he's too polite. He actually can't listen to it live because sometimes we're not stupid. We're just beyond stupid, and it hurts. So we're going to have to rein in AJ just a little bit. Because I am opening this up to everyone. Because everyone now knows when it's rated maggot, it's like, oh, God, everything.
He's funny.
All right, we do have a comment from Brian in the chat room. He says that Barry, of course, does deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. We talked a little bit about this on Tuesday.
Oh, no wonder why he actually got off the phone. Let's continue with the Hall of Fame list then. So he said Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. Okay,
yes.
Then good. Then his vote is for Barry Bonds. Ask Cuervo, ask Sonny, ask yourself. I voted no, and I will not give any other thing other than that.
So far, the only one that you guys have been in agreement on is Craig Biggio should go into the Hall. And you're waiting on Curt Schilling, and Sonny said Curt Schilling should go in, but Curt Schilling's not there yet. Let's see, Don Manley, what's Fred McGriff?
You know, that guy was, I hate using the word clutch, but that guy seemed to come up with big hits when they were necessary, much and often. I would actually lean to Fred McGriff being a Hall of Famer, but I will have my Hall of Fame report later on. I have to go over because I don't have access to the internet, so I'm crying about that. But I would lean to Fred McGriff. Seriously, I would. As a big moment. It's not a big.
Sonny?
He's a very good player. But no.
Okay.
Oh.
Next, of course, I already know the answer for scorekeeper, but he is on the list. Mark McGwire.
No.
Sonny?
Mark McGwire, yes, and my vote on Barry Bonds was yes, too, by the way. But
oh, okay. All right.
If we have to vote, like, you know, how many get in, it just depends. I think there are other worthy candidates before that because my write-in is always going to be Steve Garvey. But take away from that, it just depends on how many that would get in if you had your choice. I would say Barry Bonds and McGwire, if you can only pick like three, would not be on my list. But I think they are Hall of Famers, even though they did what they did.
Okay.
Gentlemen, Big Dog, hold on a minute. Since we're on this right now, I've been wanting to save it because I have all the stuff ready to go, but we might as well make it known now. Ladies and gentlemen, NDB Media will be instituting a very similar thing to the Baseball Writers Association, where we will be instituting the Internet Association, whether it be a bloggers or whatever, but we will reach out to every sports program, we will reach out to every host that cares to be a part of it, and we will have our own Hall of Fame vote for baseball, and in turn, we will have one for football, and in turn, we will have one for basketball, and in turn, we'll have one for, oh, well, they're not playing, and in turn, we'll have one for, hey, did anyone have a miniature golf Hall of Fame?
I don't know. I like miniature
Maybe
golf.
Maybe we should do one for miniature golf on April 1st. But, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be instituting a Hall of Fame vote from all the hosts around the Internet, and specifically Blog Talk Radio. We're going to be inviting everyone over the month of December because we have 1 month to do this, and it will be official. we will be establishing our own rules, where it's like 10 points for first place, 5 points for second place, and 3 points for third. And we're going to do it like that. Depending on how many are in the pool, we will be having a similar thing. I don't think we're going to have 75%. We may have 70% of the vote or 67%. I don't know, but we're going to be doing our own thing here on NDB Media, just to let you guys know. So expect
cool.
your ballot in the mail soon. But I need a baseball committee so we can just be jerks and tell everyone we're the committee and say that's the way it goes.
All right. I want to thank Cuervo for dropping by. He's got to go. He's going to get the show set up.
Get out of here, Cuervo.
Cuervo on campus. He's getting that up right now. So we're going to go ahead and finish off with the rest of the Hall of Fame. This one I found interesting. Jose Mesa. I didn't realize this. They list his Major League Baseball seasons. He started in 1987 and then didn't make it back to the majors again till 1990, a 13-year gap. And then, of course, played, of course, until 2007. But I didn't realize there was that much of a gap for Jose Mesa. But anyway, Jose Mesa.
Big dog. From 1987 to 1990, that's 3 years.
Oh, never mind. Yeah, 3 years. Still a three-year gap.
Boy, he took the thunder out of that. Thanks a lot, scorekeeper.
Anyway, Jose Mesa.
Nah. No.
Okay.
Jack. I'm sorry. No.
Jack Morris.
Absolutely. 100% yes.
Oh, my God. Absolutely not.
Okay.
I got the stats in front of me. You want to rethink it there, scorekeeper?
What about it only being practiced?
No. Jack Morris, pitcher for the Tigers.
Look, the only Jack I admire is in the Tom Clancy novel, and that's Jack Ryan, okay?
Oh, I thought you were going to say off, but never mind.
Well, Jack, me, off. Okay, does that make the FCC okay with that stuff?
Well, there's no FCC here, so it's okay.
It was funnier when I said that one, but it's okay. No, Sonny, and ladies and gentlemen, when I ask for the vote, I'm going to ask people to put their argument or a comment in the ballot for them, and we're going to post that stuff. I think it's going to be kind of cool. It's really going to be neat. And we're going to use the ndbmedia.net for the vote so you can see how it goes. And I'm gonna create profiles for everyone if they want to vote. That way they could automatically just be registered and they don't have to go through the registration process. That's kind of cool.
All right.
So anyway.
So yes for sending. Excuse me. Yes for sending and no for you. Dale Murphy.
Nah, he's good, but not Hall of Fame good.
Okay.
No.
All right. Rafael Palomero.
No.
I think he's a Hall of Famer, no question.
Even with the steroid scandal?
You know what? Sooner or later, they're going to get in there, and if you believe Jose Canseco, there's already one in there.
Okay. All right. Mike Piazza.
Well, then, Sonny, let's switch this. Is Jose Canseco a Hall of Famer?
Excuse me?
Is Jose Canseco a Hall of Famer?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Wow, 446 home runs, had one of the best arms in baseball, stole so many bases, and, you know, by your definition, I would assume that he would be a Hall of Famer, too.
Now, I think all around, as far as all around player, I don't think so. I'd have to really take a look at his stats. I never knew him as being one of the greatest baseball players. I mean, I know he was good, but, you know, I try to keep it for great players and things like that. At least that's the way I think about it anyway.
Yeah, and that's why you mentioned Barry Bonds. So anyway, when you say all around,
I mean, this is Jose Canseco. This is a man that was good for America. He played baseball, was great with the fans. He also did the right thing and talked about the corruption in
Absolutely.
Baseball. He also was all around. I mean, who did he not bang? And speaking of bangs, I mean, how many cars did he total? He was good for America. He was good for the economy. He was good for the auto industry. And, ladies and gentlemen, he was even good for the medical industry because of steroids and because of all the accidents he was in and all the disease he was transmitting. My God, he was a one-man stimulus package.
A one-man band, so to speak. I'd have I'll do what you did. I'll have to phone that one then. I'll phone a friend and find out.
Here's your buddy. Tarvino says, come on, couch. Palmero, it says, Jose, definitely not. But, and he said, no
to
Piazza.
And ladies and gentlemen, who'd you say, Mike Piazza?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Tim Raines.
Wait, what did Sonny say?
Oh, Piazza. Are you talking about Piazza?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Tim Raines.
Yes.
My opinion on Tim Raines has changed from a no to a hell yes.
Yes, okay.
everyone Reggie, thought I was going to say hell no, huh?
Reggie Sanders.
No.
Oh, I like the guy, but geez, he's been on baseball for 5 years? Didn't necessarily
yes,
know that.
And Sonny, he was on your program, was he not?
No, I tried to get him on. I tried many times. Yeah, he was played for the Cardinals and Diamondbacks. I tried many times. I've actually been in contact with his PR person a couple of times, and they said yes, and then when the dates came to do it, they weren't available or didn't answer the phone.
Character, ladies and gentlemen, so that's a hell to the no.
Yeah, he's good, but he's not Hall of Fame good.
All right. We already talked about Kurt Schilling. You said yes, Sonny?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And scorekeeper, you're holding off until you see his numbers.
Actually, but my inclination is actually no.
Okay.
But I will see, because, I mean, did he win 300 games?
Well, you wanted Clemens? Most wins in the...
No, Schilling. Schilling.
Oh,
Kurt
Schilling.
Schilling.
Okay, I got him right here just really quick. I'll roll over just a little bit of what I see. He's the best postseason. I talked about that. Okay. Let's see here. He owns the greatest strikeout to walk ratio on the mound since it was set at 60 feet back in 89. He's one of only four pitchers. Oh, there's the 500 strikeout, 300 batters, and three times. Johnson, Ryan, and Koufax are them. Then he's one of two pitchers to win more than 20 games with seven or fewer losses three times. And the other one was Roger Clemens, who did that in 2002, striking out more than 300 batters, had fewer walks, only 33, than his starts. He had 35. Then one of three times in 4 years he finished with the Cy Young Award runner-up. That's just what I kind of got right in front of me here.
Fair enough, and those are excellent numbers, and I'm sure there's a
this
lot of...
This guy seems to think he's like a Don Drysdale type of pitcher is what he's saying.
Whoa, no. Sonny, my God.
I know I did it. I did it on purpose.
I'm going to invest NDB Media money, buy the bloody sock, and next time we go to Vegas, Sonny, I'm going to go to town, dude. It's not going to be a wet noodle. It's going to be the bloody sock.
Oh, boy. I'd like to welcome Matt Alvarez into the chat room. Matt, how you doing? Good morning. Going over Hall of Famers, the yes or no's. Next up is Aaron Seal.
Nah.
No.
Okay. Lee Smith.
Love him.
Yes.
Love him. Yes.
Okay. Sammy Sosa.
No.
Yes.
Okay. Mike Stanton.
No.
If I haven't heard of him, I'm not too impressed.
Oh, whatever, Sonny. Mike Stanton was a reliever with the Atlanta Braves.
Storky probably know who he is. I just knew it would start you up. Yeah, I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to get some gas in you. You've been sputtering this morning.
Sonny, then I took the bait.
Yes, you did.
The catfish and heat, dude. Mike Stanton, he was a mainstay of the Yankees bullpen during the 90s when the Yankees did so well. And but no, he not
he's not a Hall of Famer. No, but
No. Okay.
Not
that.
But...
All right, next up, Alan Trammell.
God, I love that guy. He's the Tiger shortstop, right?
Yes.
And third baseman, I really like him. I don't know. I don't know his numbers. I'd have to look at his numbers. I just know that when he was good, I lived in the Detroit area and really, really liked him. So I might have too much of a bias to give a good opinion about it.
Want to say scorekeeper?
I would actually lean towards Trammell, but it's funny how Sonny does say the bias. You guys, it sucks when you don't have internet right now, and I apologize. But we will be doing an end-of-year program just prior to the vote. It will be related to the Hall of Fame, where we will elect the Hall of Fame people, as I say. And Matt Alvarez will get a vote, too. Maybe Matt will head up our WWE stuff. You never know.
Okay. All right. We're almost done. Larry Walker?
Nah.
Who?
Larry Walker.
No. No, he was good, and there was a time when he was damn good.
Yeah, he was hitting a lot of home runs at one time, wasn't he, their scorekeeper?
Yeah, and it wasn't for one or two seasons either. Larry Walker was good, man.
Consistent.
He attacked that. Yeah, he was good for a while, not just a year or two. I mean, it was.
Boy.
I don't know. I don't think it's Hall of Fame numbers.
I wonder how much some of these players would have made in today's baseball, you know?
Oh, that would be incredible. Yeah. Next up, Todd Walker.
Good player, not Hall of Fame.
Okay.
No.
Goalkeeper? Okay. David Wells.
No.
Okay.
And now, hold on. Do you get to add in beer drinking on the side? If you get that, his stats might make him Hall of Famer.
Unfortunately, not this time.
Carousing. Troublemaker, that's a hell to the yeah, Sonny.
So you're saying David Wells was like a throwback to the 20s when in the Babe Ruth era, he would have fit right in, right?
Yeah, he might have been Babe Ruth. Reincarnated.
All right, Rondell White.
Oh, love him.
Oh, no.
But he's not a Hall of Famer. I really like Rondell White.
Yeah, and I did too, but relatively speaking, he had a short career because there were some injuries and stuff.
I think that's what would really hurt him, yeah.
Yeah, you're right, 11 years only. Woody Williams?
No.
That's a pitcher.
Yes.
Okay, and last and probably close to the scorekeeper's heart, as he was the heart of the Yankees for the longest time, Mr. Bernie Williams.
Oh, that's a definite yes.
Oh, now scorekeeper.
You know, guys, I guess my standards are just much higher. I would lean no to Bernie Williams, but this will not be the official vote. I don't know if I can answer it because there are some things that I have to reanalyze. And
I think once you look at the numbers on that scorekeeper and what you know him as Yankee and everything, so you know him, you know, as Hart. But once he's kind of another one that once you really look at the stats, you go, oh my gosh, he was that good. And not only that, what the stats don't say, except if you get a Golden Glove, this guy was great, not good defensively, he was great defensively. Bernie Williams, once you look it up, scorekeeper, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. And you might change your vote.
Look, Bernie Williams, as we all learned, was the heart and soul of the Yankees. As I told the story before,
I remember when everyone was saying, when Derek Jeter flew into the stands, they go, oh, are the Yankees going to be hurt? And for 30 days that Derek Jeter was out, the Yankees continued to win. And
yep.
later that season, when Bernie Williams went down, the Yankees went down. And I remember
yep.
telling the big dog, I guess we found out who makes the Yankees go, huh, Peter?
There's no question.
Yeah.
No question.
Yes. Definitely. All right. That is it for the Hall. So those are all 37 people that can be voted in. I believe there's also the write-in votes. And some of the other ones that are no longer on there, and the writers can write them in the, I guess, the older era, the golden
yeah,
era of
Garvey.
Baseball. Yeah, I know. He's never going to get in, unfortunately.
Yep. All right, gentlemen, I'm going to head on over, and I'm going to grab the assist over there with Cuervo. This is his last on-campus with Cuervo show, so we'll get back to our regular time, I think, next week, where we'll be taking the handoff from you guys on Saturday morning.
All right, Cal, thanks a lot. And just wanted to mention really quick, my daughter, like yours, yours already finished her competition. Mine is going to competition today, so today is her competition day. So.
Is it the school competition or is it the all-star type competition?
This is an all-star type competition. They,
those
they
are
finished,
so much fun. What time is it? What time is it, big dog?
I have to get her there. My time is 10 in the morning, and it starts for her at 12:30.
Okay.
And
when does she go on stage, does it say?
No, it doesn't. I have no idea.
Okay. I will say, before the 2.5-minute routine is done, tears will be coming out of Big Dog's eyes. I predict it before it even starts. I guarantee it. And it's just something that parents of cheerleading guys, I'll tell you right now, people who don't think all-star cheer is a sport will change. Once you see it in person, you'll change your opinion about it.
Yeah, so I'm hoping for the best, because I guess if they win, then they go to regionals, and if they win that one, they can go to nationals. So
yep.
I'm hoping for the best.
Good luck with that big dog, and good luck to your daughter. And if you get an opportunity to videotape it, put that biatch up on YouTube or Facebook so we can see it. I love watching All-Star Cheer, and yes, that's one of my well-hidden loves. I really do. And if you get there early enough, catch the minis. They're about 4 or 5 years old. You will just fall in love with cheerleading just watching the four and five-year-olds trying to do it. It's great.
All righty. Thanks a lot, Couch. I appreciate
Big
that.
Big Dog and Scorekeeper, have yourself a good day. I'll talk to you soon, man. Scorekeeper, I'll call you if you got time after on campus with Cuervo. Will you be available?
All day, Sonny. Get the hell out of here.
Very good. All right. I'm out of here. Have a good one, guys. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. That was, of course, the Couch Potato.
Hold on. About tearing up, no. The only way I see the Big Dog tearing up is that he's pissed off as he's being arrested by the cops after he kicked the crap out of all those guys that were making passes at his daughter. Yes.
You're probably right. Matt Alvarez had a comment in the chat room saying he thinks you were in the chat room yesterday while he was doing his show. It says, or whoever it was, they had an NDB Media Sports Channel 76 sign on or something like to that effect.
That was interesting. No, Matt, I was not there. I have no access to the internet right now. Someone else must have. You see, I'm getting tired of this crap. But I'm rewriting the guidelines to tell people and having everyone seeing the grid, do not log in when other people are there. And it's really annoying the crap out of me that it's like whenever a host is on, that's when someone else logs in. It's like, what the hell? So, and that's not directed at you, Matt. It's directed at the other host that, it is creating some problems. Each host thinks that they live in their own universe, and it's like, no, there's multiple people in this universe.
Do you have a sign-on of NDB Media Sports Channel 76 or something to that effect?
No. What happens is that that's usually when someone logs in and they lose the connection and they, like, hit refresh, and that's how you get that number. And,
oh, okay.
I've noticed that happen to the host or the co-host on it. So someone logged in, and they probably got kicked out, and they came back in, but when they hit refresh, that's what happened. But anyway, it is what it is.
All righty. In other baseball news, lots of baseball news, lots of signings, guys. As we talked about earlier, David Wright got his contract with the 1 year that he has already in the that they added to it, the 1 year that he had left. It was a 7-year contract. So it turns out to be it was a 7-year contract, but with the year added on, it turned out to be an 8-year, $138 million contract. It is the biggest contract that the New York Mets has ever signed anybody to in the history of their organization. We talked about it a little bit on Tuesday on the Five Tools show, and Tanya gave her opinion. I was on the opinion with Tanya that I believe the 8 years was too many years, as he already is 30 years old. But, you know, that's a going rate for a premier superstar in this league right now. So what do you feel, scorekeeper, 8 years, $138 million?
Dude, good for the player. I'm never going to comment as to whether it's too much money or not. You know, let the fans of the Mets swallow it. Let management live with it. I mean, it speaks for itself with these long-term contracts, too. I am happy for David Wright. Relatively speaking, if that's the going rate, well, then good for him. Someone wanted to pay him, thought he was worth it. Hey, Merry Christmas. I hope he plays it through. And if he doesn't, well, then it's... Well, we know what happens, right?
Yeah, yes, we do. and I don't begrudge him the money either. I just felt that the amount of years was too long. You want to pay him the $16, $17 million a year, that's fine, but only give him maybe, if he is 30, maybe give him a 5-year contract with maybe a double option being player and team for the other 3 years or something. But this is a 8 years, and he's tied in until, 2020 now.
Yeah, actually, that's a lot.
Yes, it is a lot. So this, of course, beats out the $137.5 million contract that Johan Santana agreed to as a prerequisite of being traded to the Mets a few years ago. So this is the biggest contract ever for the Mets. You know, they're trying to turn things around, and they wanted to make sure their superstar, as he is the face of the Mets at the moment, that is the player that that they're going with, and they need to build around him. So, of course, they gave him the money to make sure that he was there pretty much for his entire career, as he did say he wanted to play his entire career with the Mets. So there you go. Also, in other signings, it was B.J. Upton finalized his deal with the Atlanta Braves, and he agreed to a $75.25 million 5-year contract. And that is the biggest ever given to a free agent by the franchise of the Atlanta Braves. He gets $3 million signing bonus, payable by December 31st, salaries of $12.45 million next season, $13.45 in 2014, $14.45 in 2015, $15.45 in 2016, and $16.45 in 2017. He's 28 years old. He played his first 8 seasons with Tampa Bay. He hit .246 with 28 homers and 78 RBIs and 31 steals this past season. And, of course, he replaces Michael Bourne in center field. How do you feel about that signing, scorekeeper?
In relative baseball terms, I will let you know that was actually a good deal. The guy is 28. 5-year deal. His opt-out basically is at the end of the 5th year. He's got it made. He's going to be 33 years old. He could conceivably, you know, double his take.
Yes.
in that little time. He could make $75 million and yet another $75 million in a few years. 33 is not old in baseball terms.
No, it is
but
not.
We'll see. The Braves got themselves a good deal on this one, I think. Knowing that Mr. Upton had a relatively lackluster or down year, I think he's a good player and good for the Braves.
Yes, very much so. Also, other signings were the Pirates agreed to a 2-year, $17 million deal with former Yankees catcher Russell Martin. The Yankees wanted Martin to return, but they did not make an offer prior to retaining to the free agency. So they were hoping to come back at a lesser amount, but they already knew that other teams were going to pay him what he wanted. So they took a chance and unfortunately lost out on that one. Are you glad for the Pirates? Are you upset with the Yankees? Or no? Are you just indifferent about it?
I'm unhappy that the Yankees did not sign him, but that's it. I do not believe Russell Martin was worth the two-year, $17 million deal. So I'm glad he got his money. Well done. We are going to miss out on him. I'd rather have him on the team than not. But the reality is the Yankees are making decisions when it comes to money, and that, again, is good for baseball. So, again, the Yankees help baseball yet again. That's great to be a winner.
Yes, it is. And since we are on the Yankees, we will stay there. As, of course, Mariano Rivera agreed to a 1-year, $10 million deal. Of course, he turns 43. In fact, 2 days ago he turned 43, I believe, or it's next Thursday. Either way, he's going to be turning 43. And, of course, he took a $5 million pay cut that he earned from last year. But, of course, he did miss essentially the entire year with the blown ACL that he had. And, of course, he is baseball's career leader with 608 saves. Also, Andy Pettit got a, I believe, let me see, it is a 2-year deal. No, I'm sorry. It's a 1-year deal, $12 million. Of course, you get a $10 million raise, and he gets several awards bonuses if he can get them, $1 million for the Cy Young or the World Series MVP or $500,000 for a league championship MVP. Of course, he's a big, big raise. He earned $2.5 million last season. Of course, he had a 5-4 record with a 2.87 ERA. But, of course, most of that happened before he went down with a fractured fibula in June, costing him 3 months. Were you happy with that signing or either of the signings? Of course, I know you
are.
Oh,
I'm happy with both signings.
Do you believe Pettit is worth a $12 million, or do you think they paid a little too much for that one?
I think they paid a little too much for it, but it doesn't matter. It's all good. I'll take Andy Pettit. It's a 1-year deal. Money is relative to the Yankees, for goodness sake. $12 million is what they take in each game. Give me a break.
That is true. Also, Evan Longoria and the Rays agreed to an extension. And he got a $100 million contract extension that will keep him with Tampa Bay through the 2023 season. The deal maintains the terms of the contract to 2016, then tacks on 6 more years for $100 million. And the team has an option for the 2023 season. Longoria, who was only 27, batted 289 with 17 homers and 55 RBIs in only 74 games because of a partially torn hamstring. How do you feel about that one? I don't know about that one.
In baseball terms, it was a good deal for them because they're not paying market rates for him. So it's good. And if he stays healthy, it's a great bet. If he's not, well, you know what? And even baseball doesn't even lose these monies now. Remember, let's say Evan Longoria signs a new deal for 2013. He goes down this year. They've got to eat the contract. And then he goes, and let's just say he's done. After he's been out a full year, then the insurance kicks in because they all buy insurance money. So baseball doesn't exactly, the teams don't really lose all that money because the contracts are insured. So even then, it's something that they've done now in baseball for several years that they basically have to be out 2 years, which is what they'll eat. The year gets hurt, the year after, and then after that, it's, no one loses, except the insurance companies.
That is true. Tim McLeod was in the chat room. I don't see his name there anymore, but he did make a comment saying, with your rotation, you would take Fausto Carmona and smile.
Oh, what a smartass.
And he also put, he said, like Aubrey Huff, I assume? I'm not sure what that one meant.
He's a fielder with the Giants.
Okay, that goes to a comment that Matt Alvarez had just before. I'm sorry. It says, I'm upset that some of the players who helped win the World Series will not be on the Giants roster next year. And that's when Tim said, like Aubrey Huff.
Yeah, well, you know what? Here's a good thing for the Giants. Two out of the last 3 years, they won the World Series, and the Dodgers are now full of so much money. It'll be interesting if the Giants win again and the Dodgers having so much money. Hey, money isn't everything, guys. It's not, as the Yankees can tell you. But it's better to have the money than not.
That is very, very true. Okay, let's see what we also have in other news. Just small stuff. The Twins traded Denard Spano to the Nats for minor league pitcher Alex Meyer on Thursday, giving them a natural center fielder and a leadoff hitter. And, of course, with that, they'll probably move Bryce to one of the corner outfield spots, probably left field. I wanted to ask you, Scorekeeper, do you feel Bryce should be playing his natural position? Because, I mean, naturally, if I'm not mistaken, he is a catcher, is he not?
Yes, he is, Big Dog. But we know that catchers, the wear and tear on them is just unbelievable. And Bryce Harper is such a talent that I agree he should not be a catcher. And I'm glad he's playing the outfield. That's where they should keep him.
All right. Looks like the Atlanta Braves traded starting pitcher Tommy Hansen to the Angels for reliever Jordan Walden. The trade was announced by the Angels. Hansen, who is 26, is 45-32 with a 3.61 ERA in four seasons with the Braves. And as we all know, the Braves were loaded down in the starting pitchers section. So do you look at this as a good trade or not? Doesn't really matter.
I'm confused by that trade. I don't know why the Braves got rid of Tommy Hansen to strengthen their bullpen. I would have rather have used one of my arms. I don't know if this is because of the money issue that all of a sudden they signed Upton. Now they got to get rid of Hansen. I've never been a big fan of trading a good commodity for a good commodity. In baseball's terms, the Braves have the best commodity, pitching. And if you're going to trade pitching, you've got to get something better. And I don't think they got something better than that. I think that was a mistake, unless the Braves know something that the Angels don't. I just don't get that trade. I don't trade starting pitching. I don't.
All righty. Just looking at comments in the chat room, Tim is back. He said the Angels are gambling, and I think surgery could be in its future as far as Revere is better right now. He's a better fielder, smarter hitter. What if he gives an OBP? He's more than makes up for in stolen bases.
Fair enough. Now, I will say this about the Angel trade. If it was the Angels that originated it, I think it was a steal for them, honestly.
Okay. Well, according
if the Braves originated, I think it's a dumb deal. But if the Angels did, it's a good deal, if you understand my logic behind it.
I understand. Yeah, I understand. But Tim says Hansen has some serious shoulder issues. So that might be the reason why the Braves traded him.
Yeah, well, there it is. Yeah, and the best they could get for him was a reliever who had one of his worst years. So then if that's the case, the Braves did the better job on that one. They did.
All righty. And after 17 seasons, if I am not mistaken, nearly two decades in the United States, former All-Star Chad Hoge Parks has retired from professional baseball.
I'm sorry?
Of course, he holds a major league record for most wins by an Asian pitcher, going 124-98 with a 4.36 ERA.
Man, that's like me going to Japan and eating 39 bowls of noodles. I mean, for goodness sake. And I hold the record for the most noodles eaten by a Mexican, for goodness sake. I mean, BFD, dude.
Yeah, well, in the 17-year career, of course, he played for the Dodgers, the Rangers, the Padres, the Mets, the Phillies, the Yankees, the Pirates, and the Pirates. He also played for Japan's Oryx Buffaloes and South Korea's Hanwha Eagles in the last 2 years. Says that he plans to study baseball administration here in the United States.
Yes, and he also won a gold medal, which made him exempt from the ultimate military services of his nation.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. That's right. He had to pitch in the Baseball Classic, I believe, two different times for him to be exempt from going to the Army, right?
Well, if you get a gold medal, all athletes are exempt from the Army, yeah. Or military compulsory service.
I remember that, because I remember in basketball, Yao Ming had to there was some finagling there done by the Houston Rockets so he could play and not have to do his service in China.
Well, the funny thing is that his service would have cost the nation much more than the monies he earned. They're a communist nation, for goodness sakes. I mean, finagling. It's just how much the military guy was going to get in his kickback as opposed to the, you know, the other guy that controls them. So they'll figure.
Yes.
Could you imagine that Yao Ming was basically a state asset, both figuratively and literally?
Yes, he was. And he's done a lot. I mean, it worked both ways because he brought the NBA to China. So, you know, too bad he left. He had bad feet, you know. But I guess being that big and that weighing that much. You know, your feet are, I guess, were the first to go. So, but he had a decent career, made a lot of money, and he took it all back to China, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but he's not a Hall of Famer. That's the deal with that.
No, he is not. He is not a Hall of Famer. You are correct on that one.
About time.
All righty. That about does it for baseball news. Did you have any other baseball news, scorekeeper?
Let me go over my notes right here. What really surprised me is the Giants let Brian Wilson go. That was a little bit of a surprise to me, so he's going to be on the open market. We'll see. We know he's been hurt for a little while. And I had a comment about Humber being claimed by the new American League Astros, and that's about it. Otherwise, you covered everything else. Now, and also baseball, apparently Derek Jeter has made the cover of New York News because, as you know, he's recovering over his fractured
His ankle.
Well, yeah, okay. And he apparently is pretty porky. So
yes.
They're now calling him Derek Jeter.
Okay. I was wondering why you called him that. Yes, I read that, but they also talked to Brian Cashman, and he says he does not worry about that. Evidently, this is nothing new for the offseason for Derek Jeter. I believe the report that I read about Cashman said that Jeter does seem to gain some weight during the off season since he's not working out. He takes literally the time off, does not work out. And about a month and a half before the preseason starts, he starts getting in shape. And evidently, I guess he has a metabolism like Michael Cooper of the Lakers back in the day used to, where as soon as he starts working out, the weight just drops off.
Big Dog, the reality is Derek Jeter, even in the offseason when he would gain weight, it was relative. He never gained that much weight. I mean, look at the girls that he's with, but that's neither here nor there. But when you see the picture of him in the post or whatever, oh my God, he's corpulent. He really is corpulent.
Oh, really?
But here's the thing. He's wearing a brace on his leg, for goodness sake. So it's obvious. It's obvious the guy's recovering, and he hasn't been able to do anything because he just had the surgery. So, you know, I think it's funny that made the news. Derek Jeter, that's funny. Good for him, Derek. You know, he still has all that money coming to him. Good for him.
You know, New York, they feast on anything, and that was an intended pun. They have nothing better to do. So, you know, any type of pictures they can get of someone. And also, you know, depends on what the picture was. You know, a lot of times they have them moving the wrong way or whatever that makes them look heavier than they actually are.
He is corpulent. He is
whatever, but he's back.
All right. Well, Tim and Coffee are going back and forth in the chat room along with Matt.
What a shot. Hey, Coffee.
Yeah.
How you doing, Coffee?
And, of course, Mr. Tim.
Yeah. Oh, geez. He's awake this early in the morning.
Yeah, you know, it's too bad Sonny left because I wanted to get his opinion, along with yours, of course.
On Derek Jeter?
No, about the NBA and what's happening in the little, the fight is over now, but the little battle that went on between David Stern and, of course, the San Antonio Spurs. Did you read into that at all, or were you not...
Well,
aware of it.
There was a comment on the NDV Media Net regarding that and also on the Facebook page. Ladies and gentlemen, and I pointed this out to everyone, that the big dog knows this better than I do, but there is a rule that you cannot sit your players down. If, in fact, you sit them down, you are fined. So for you to say that there was some go-back, it's like the little kid who gets punished for breaking the window. And he answers back to his parents. People think that there's a fight there, but the reality is it's a little kid getting caught. And in this case, they sat their players down. What is the rule, Big Dog, that I refer to? And then elucidate, please.
Well, what it was is Greg Popovich was playing, I believe it was the sixth game in nine nights. They were playing the fourth game in five nights, so on and so forth, and they'd already gone 5-0. They have this was the game that they played on Thursday night. It was a nationally televised game against the Miami Heat in Miami, and with the amount of minutes and the amount of games they had been played, Greg Popovich decided to rest the starting core, which of course is Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, and the key role player, Danny Green. Of course, all those other players, the other three players, of course, are older. Danny Green is younger, but he has put in the most amount of minutes of any Spur this season. What he did was he felt it was better for the team to rest these players because they have the game against Memphis coming up, and, of course, that is a conference game. They're both in the Western Conference, and right now the Memphis Grizzlies are the best team in basketball, period, but they're the best team in the West. And there was that's a major game going on tonight, so he wanted to rest his players. So he sent them home on a commercial flight, and David Stern and the NBA took exception to that. And I personally feel a coach should be able to do what he wants. It's his team. But David Stern issued a statement before the game, apologizing to the fans, said this was an unacceptable decision by the San Antonio Spurs, and substantial sanctions will be forthcoming. Greg Popovich had no comment to that. He said his answer to that was, here we go. He said, quote, if I was taking my 6-year-old son or daughter to the game, I'd want them to see everybody. And if they weren't there, I'd be disappointed. Then he went on to say, I understand their perspective. Hopefully, people in the position will understand my perspective. My priority is the basketball team and what's best for it. And we are going for a championship at the end of the year, so I want to make sure my players are rested. When you look at it that way, I totally agree. He should be able to sit or not sit anybody he feels like. And just like during a game,
okay, your 2 minutes are up, Big Dog. I feel like this is a political debate. No, your 2 minutes are up. Ladies and gentlemen,
okay,
I asked you a question, Big Dog. What are the rules on sitting players?
Okay, the rule is that this is a violation is against resting players in a manner contrary to the best interest of the NBA.
Bingo.
That is what they were fined $250,000 for that. But
this is nothing.
But if you want to say that, okay, then why rest Kobe Bryant? Why rest LeBron James during the game? Don't you want to see them the entire 48 minutes?
Whoa. Okay, hold on a minute.
Same thing.
Big dog.
Yeah.
You and I have had this conversation over the years. you were the one that explained this to me because I asked years ago, why did they fine the team for resting them? And you said, and I'm paraphrasing, that the NBA has to keep their players in there because the rules are that you cannot sit players because fans come to see the players. And the NBA is a pro fan league, and this is not baseball where you can sit the guys down. I'm like, ooh, okay. So there is
a
rule.
Yeah, I know. I remember saying that.
Yeah. I'm the scorekeeper. I remember rules and stuff. The rules are that, see, Peter, he sent them home. So the fans.
That was the bad part.
Yes. See, honestly, I would have sat them down during the game.
Yeah, he could have started them and then sat them out, or had them only play like maybe 5 or 10 minutes in the game.
Well, then what do you really sit them down for? I mean, what do you rest? No, I would have had them show up, and I would have said it was a game time decision. They weren't really feeling up to it, and we thought it was in the best interest of the game. And sorry, we screwed up. We really screwed up. They were suited up. They were ready to go. But, you know, and then you could actually kind of argue it. But, no, he had the audacity to say, no, I'm sending them home. They need a rest. They're not playing. What about the fans that paid the money to see these stars? Because they always play. And when you look at the report, they were eligible to play. They played.
Yeah,
and that was one of the things also that was said
by David Stern, or actually Deputy Commissioner Adam Silver was saying that the Spurs did not give notice to the Heat or the NBA about them not playing. I guess you're supposed to give them X amount of hours or time before the game to let them know whether the player is available or unavailable for that game. And I guess either not enough time was given or the Spurs just didn't give them any inclination of what was doing. Now, of course, the Spurs are an elite team, as we all know, along with the Lakers and Boston and the Heat and a few other teams. So there is a pricing system that goes along with that where the home team charges more for those tickets to see the senior teams. And, of course, the Heat are along with that system, so of course they did charge more for the Spurs game. What makes it very interesting, though, is it was actually a very close game where Ray Allen actually needed to hit a three-pointer with about 3 seconds left to pull off the victory, which they ended up winning by 95-90. So it was an extremely close game, even though they had, I believe, 8 players suited up only. Because not only were those 4 players out, but they also had injuries to 2 other core players. So essentially 6 players, half of the team was actually not there, and they still made it a competitive game.
So you're telling me that 6 guys suited up for the game?
No, you're allowed 15 on the team now. And you're able to have, I believe it's 14 on the bench or 13 on the bench. So they had the bare minimum to suit up. I believe they played 8 players.
Wow. Well, there you go, Big Dog. That was not good, not smart. I mean, look, Big Dog, I don't send my guys home because a win is a win is a win. I mean, here's the thing. They basically threw that game away as well because they didn't take their main guns there. That actually is not good for the league.
I can see that.
Well, as a fan who had to pay extra to see those guys, I want my money back because I wasn't told that they were not. See, if they're on the restricted list, if they're on the injured reserve list, I know that going in. Otherwise, I don't, and the guy sent him home without notifying me. I might not have bought my ticket.
I understand what you're saying. The only problem that I see with
my God! What do you mean understand what I'm saying? This is your argument 8 years later.
No. I'm not saying I don't disagree with you, Scorchy, but what I was going to say is you really don't have you really don't know because like the Heat and the Lakers and the Spurs and stuff, those tickets sell out within hours of them going on sale 5 months ago. When I tried to buy my tickets in September – for games, let's say, in April, they were already sold out. So who's to say I bought my tickets in September for my February game, and he decides to do this? I don't have a choice then or now. I'm taking a chance. All I'm saying, I don't know. No, I totally agree with you. He should not have sent them home. If anything, they should have went to the game, and then he benched them there. But,
Big Dog,
I mean, as far as saying, I want to buy the tickets. Yeah, but you're saying, I might not have bought the tickets had I known they weren't going to play. You're not going to know 3 months in advance that they're not going to be there.
But you do know 3 months in advance because there's an expectation for them to be there. That's why I said, it's not an issue of them being on the restricted list. It's not an issue of them being on injured reserve. It's an issue of these guys play every day. That's, you know, there's only 82 games. So,
yeah.
Again, here we go. It's expected of them to play, and when they sat them down, dude, I as a fan say, hey, I paid my money for these guys. And they weren't hurt. They weren't on injured reserve. They're nothing. They were sent home. I don't pay money for guys to not be there.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying, you know, months ahead of time, there's no way of telling that. In other basketball news, Rajon Rondo was suspended for 2 games for fighting. Did you happen to catch that fight? The shoving match. It was just a little shoving match. You know, as you all know, no major sports other than hockey actually fights. Football, basketball, baseball, everybody's pretty much shoving each other and saying, hold me back, hold me back.
Don't tell that to Nolan Ryan.
Well, there are exceptions to the rule, and Nolan Ryan was an exception, period, because he beat the holy crap out of him. But anyways, for the most part, most sports, major sports, as I said, except for hockey, they really don't fight. They don't want to, and they don't want to fight either. But Rajon Rondo got into it with Chris Humphries, Mr. Kardashian. Gave a little bit of a hard foul to Kevin Garnett. I really didn't think it was much of a foul. He was kind of in the air and got a little bit of a shove. Nothing malicious. I didn't think it was malicious. To me, if it was back in the 80s, the guy would have got up off the ground, shot his free throws, and the game would have kept on going. But now, the way in this day and age, you can't even look at the person wrong because they want to fight. But anyways, Rajon Rondo took exception to the little shove of Kevin Garnett and got into it with Chris Humphries. Garnett then got into it with Rasheed Wallace, where they were actually pushing and shoving each other. And Rajon Rondo ended up getting a 2-game suspension without pay. Kevin Garnett was fined $25,000 for escalating the altercation. And $35,000 was fined for Gerald Wallace. So a little money, their pockets were a little bit lighter this week. And Rajon Rondo did not play in yesterday's game, and he will not play in the next game. Did you happen to see it at all?
No, actually, I missed out on it.
No internet. Man, what did you not get?
About?
What part do we not get about me not having internet right now?
Oh, I'm sorry. Also, I just wanted to mention this is Rondo's third suspension in the last 9 months. He also received a 2-game ban in February for zipping the ball to an official in Detroit, and then a 1-game suspension in April for making contact with an official during Game 1 of the Eastern Conference quarterfinals against Atlanta. So Rajon Rondo's got a little bit of anger management problem, I guess, and of course he is high maintenance, as Doc Rivers has said that personally, that Rajon Rondo is a high maintenance player.
I guess that's why Ray Allen wanted to leave, right?
Could be, you know. But you know, it was interesting. As I said, I saw it. It was, to me, it wasn't much of anything. It was just more pushing and shoving. I did not think it was that hard of a foul, but you know, more of a bang bang situation, and they just took exception to it. So
the guys do overreact this year, and then it's funny. It's funny when your own coach says you're a high maintenance player, and then you see something like that. Well, you pretty much know what it is. You know, the guy just flipped out, didn't like it, whatever. But then, here's the thing, Big Dog. how often does Rajon Rondo actually explode, do stuff like that? I mean, Big Dog, I got a reaction out of you one time when I fouled you very, very hard. And that was the only time I ever saw you get frustrated on the court. And for me,
same situation.
Dude, how often did I get frustrated? And I meant angry. Frustrated all the time, but angry?
Yeah, no, it's game time frustration. I mean, things happen, you know, during the game, and people take exception to it. I mean, I totally understand, you know, the pushing and shoving that went on, because like I said, you know, we have a different perspective watching it sitting down on our couch, watching it on TV, going, that wasn't much of a play. But when you're actually playing the game and something like that happens, yeah, you can take exception to it. And, you know, it's good to see that your players are there to back you up. I mean, that I think is more important than anything else. That in Kevin Garnett's eyes, you know, he was like, hey, whether it was dirty or not, whether it was malicious or not, Rajon Rondo was there to back me up, to help me out, you know, to try and protect me, you know. Even though he's only 6'1", Chris Humphries is 6'10", but, you know, it doesn't matter. He was still there trying to, you know, get his point across.
Cool. I like it.
Yeah, big news coming out of Golden State as Andrew Bogut revealed that his ankle surgery that he had last season was actually more serious than previously said, and now he's out indefinitely. There have been rumors that he's going to be coming back Monday or Tuesday and practicing and so on and so forth, and he was finally tired of it. He had surgery in April to clean out loose particles and bone spurs in his ankle, but it just came out recently, and actually just came out the other day, and actually he had microfracture surgery on his ankle. Now, as we all know, in basketball terms, that is an extremely serious surgery for a basketball player. And now, as I said, he is out indefinitely. They do not have a timetable for his return, as he is still experiencing a lot of pain. Now, with the microfracture surgery, small holes are drilled into the bone to spur tissue growth. So, of course, that will take time to happen, especially in your ankle. Your ankle and your knees are the most important thing to a basketball player. You can't go let
there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Remember that. Listen to what the Big Dog said right now to basketball players. The most important thing to a basketball player is their ankle and their knees, not their head and not their heart. You remember that.
To play the game, you're not going to be able to do anything if you don't have your knees or your ankles with you, because, yeah, you can go forward or backwards, but you have to be able to go laterally. Every player has to be able to have lateral movement. Same thing with football. You can have all the heart you want, and you can have all the brains you want, but if your knees or your ankles aren't there, you ain't going nowhere. And I use ain't for other people. Like to welcome into the chat room our college speaker that will be speaking on December 5th at a college in New York. I forget the name of the college. Forgive me, Tanya. But I'd like to welcome into the chat room Tanya Mercado of City Field of Dreams and the Five Tool Show and Raise Your Glass. Good morning, Tanya. Woo-hoo! Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I'm not in the chat room or anywhere near a computer right now because I have no internet. So. What's up?
But anyway, so he is out, and he's extremely frustrated because he has been wanting to tell the public and the news media that he had microfracture surgery, and the Golden State Warriors told him to keep his mouth shut and not talk about it. So all this time that everybody's been saying, oh, you're coming back, you're progressing, you're this and you're that, you know, and every time he misses a proposed return to the court just for practice and doesn't happen, everybody, what happened? Did you have a setback? Did you have this? Did you have that? So he got tired of it and said, you know what? I had microfracture surgery. I don't know when I'm coming back.
All
so,
right, Big Dog, now,
yes.
What are the ramifications now as far as the NBA is concerned on this? Because publicly, they knew about this, and they told the player to hush up. Now, no one, as I can infer, knew about it, and this was withheld from the public and even the rest of the league. What are the ramifications to the team now?
I believe the NBA is going to be looking into it. It's a touchy situation because they did say he had ankle surgery. That was public knowledge. They just didn't say what type of surgery he had. And they had not officially said, oh, he's going to be back to practice on December 1st. Or they were saying, what they were alluding to was that he was expected to come back and didn't. He missed, you know, for whatever reason, he's still not back to practice. The contention of the Golden State Warriors is we never lied. He had ankle surgery. We just didn't tell you what type of ankle surgery. That's their contention. So that's what I'm saying. It's a touchy situation where, yes, they let everybody know. They just didn't let everybody know what type of surgery it was. And, of course, by the type of surgery was the length that he's going to be out. The only thing that, was expected.
Well, now here we go again, Big Dog. Are you lying to the fans because they have expectations of the player returning soon? If it's just a regular ankle surgery, well, you know what that takes. But since it's microfracture, that would have told the fans something differently, that they're a team that's on the cusp is about ready to get their player back. And then, oh, it was microfracture. The guy wasn't coming back. So, again, this is the NBA looking into honesty with the fans. Oh, wait, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
I said fans and an established league honesty. I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me scourge myself for that one. Jeez. Can't believe I said honesty and professional league all in the same sentence.
Okay, this was from General Manager Bob Myers. He addressed the media and said the team wasn't trying to mislead by failing to mention the microfracture surgery. He said, quote, in the overall procedure, the focus wasn't that. We always knew there was something that may allow him to be ready for opening of camp. There were a lot of components to the injury that made the situation that might take a little more time. But knowing that element that the get-go didn't change any expectations and don't to this day. Of course, Bogut is disagreeing when they asked him if the microfracture surgery set back his recovery. He said, of course it did, 100%. He said, without the procedure, he goes, I'm out 8 weeks tops. He goes, it's a basic healing of the tear, a clean out and a score is generally 6 to 8 weeks. He said, that would have been July. He says, but my procedure was obviously much more detailed than that, and now I do not know when I'm coming back. So, yes, the NBA is looking into this, and there probably will be some ramifications of some sort.
Will be ramifications, Big Dog, because once again, the team misled its fans into assuming that they would be back in a relatively short period of time.
Yes.
There can
always
be complications, but there are no complications. When you know what it is and there are complications, that's acceptable. But when you're withholding information, oh, here we go again. The NBA withholding stuff. Wow, Big Dog. Yeah, good for the sport.
Yeah. In other NBA news,
I say refund all the money to the fans.
Well, interesting you would say that because the Phoenix Suns are running a promotion. Not saying if we don't win, we're gonna give your money back, or we're gonna guarantee this, or we're guaranteeing that. They are running a promotion saying, if you come to the game and you don't have fun and you don't leave with a smile on your face, we will refund your money, win or lose.
Who has that?
The Phoenix Suns are running the promotion. I believe it is the game that is tonight. They are saying that their expectations, of course, because of Steve Nash being gone and other players, they're not a playoff contender. They already know that. They know they're not a championship contender. They're gonna struggle to even just make the playoffs, which I don't think is gonna happen. But they say if you go there, you will have fun. So that is what they are promoting, is fun at the Phoenix Suns games, whether they win or lose. So the promotion for the next game is, if you come and you don't have fun, we will give you 100% of your money back. That could be very disastrous.
if
19,000 people don't have fun.
Yeah, and then what is the money that they're going to return? Just the entrance fee, or is it all the food money? Is it every? I mean, Big Dog, this could be a nightmare.
Oh yeah, I agree. And
idiot.
You know, even if you do have fun, I mean, there are going to be that small percentage of dishonest people that are going to say, you know, I didn't have fun. I want my money back.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. I had fun for 49% of the game. So mathematically, I was not having fun for the entire game.
Yes, that could very well be also. But,
I'm not going to argue this. I'm going to say I only had fun for 44% of the time.
So
mathematically and logically, I did not have fun.
Yeah, there is.
The sum,
I mean,
of the entire part did not allow me to have fun.
You know, that's an extremely, extremely risky situation. I mean, as it is, what they're trying to do is get more people to come see the game. They are in the bottom 10%, I believe, or even lower than that as far as attendance goes for the league. I believe they are like 25th or 26th in the league of 30 as far as attendance. So they're trying to get attendance in. So I guess they're reaching for anything they can reach right now. And but this one can really come back and bite them in the butt if they're, you know.
Actually, Big Dog, what they're probably going to do is this. They're going to say, okay, if you want your money back, here is the 59-page questionnaire. And tell us. Yeah, you know, we need to know. And I think it's in the small print. They can do that. And by the time the average basketball fan gets to page 2 and says, wait a minute, there are no boxes to check. Ah, screw this.
That very well could be. Also, in other news, very, very interesting, could we possibly be seeing the Charlotte Hornets once again? The Hornets nickname has become available. Charlotte said they may be interested in getting it back. The Hornets moved, of course, to New Orleans from Charlotte in 2002. And when Tom Benson bought the team earlier this year, he said he would like to change the name of the team to something more fitting to Louisiana. And he said before Wednesday's game, his wife Gail reiterated the idea and added that the franchise would also like to change the team colors from teal to purple to red, gold, and navy blue. Now, Charlotte Bobcats owner Michael Jordan was asked if he'd be interested in bringing the Hornets name back to Charlotte. And his answer was, it definitely is an interest down the road, but now it's just the New Orleans Hornets, Jordan told the Charlotte Observer. He said, we would definitely entertain the opportunity. That's as much as we can say right now. We've heard the community ask the question, and we would listen. But owners or fans won't have the final say. The league issued a statement Wednesday saying that they are aware of the Hornets' intentions, but the ultimate decision on the team names and colors resides with the NBA. What do you think about that?
Big Dog, when I want to grow up and be a imperial dictator, I want to be the NBA.
There you go. One final note in basketball, and this is a sad note, I'm sorry to say, and even though he is a Celtic, I would never wish this on him or anybody else. Kevin McHale, who, of course, took a leave of absence on November 10th for personal reasons. Unfortunately, Saturday. This past Saturday, we found out what that personal reason was. It was his daughter. She has lupus, or had lupus, I'm sorry to say. She died at the age of 23 years old. On Saturday, with lupus, her name was Alexandria Sasha McHale, and she'd been fighting the lupus for several years. And of course, she took a turn for the worse and went into the hospital on November 10th. That is the day that Kevin McHale left the team to be with his daughter, and unfortunately, she could not pull through. So, just wanted here at NDB Media, and of course, Sports Talk with the guys and everyone here. I want to give our condolences to Kevin McHale and his wife and the family and friends. And, you know, it's something no one should go through.
We are sorry, Kevin. There's no doubt about it. I am sorry for your loss. I cannot imagine, Kevin, and I'm so sorry. and to the family, the McHale family, on behalf of everyone here at NDB Media.
Alrighty, folks. Unfortunately, we have run out of time. We blew through those 2 hours so fast. We didn't even cover football. But I want to thank everybody for joining us today. Of course, Coffee, Matt Alvarez, Tim McLeod, Tony Mercado, Couch, Cuervo, Tarvin, of course, the scorekeeper, and myself, Big Dog. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Of course, I'll be here Monday night at 8 p.m. Pacific time to give you the weekend wrap-up. And scorekeeper, what's on the agenda?
Lots of stuff. Aim Right with Amy is on at 11 a.m. Pacific time on NDB Media. And then, of course, Rave is on at 6 p.m. on Sunday. And don't forget, also, Deep Space Jeff is on this Sunday. And, that's on Monday. ADD Tangent is on this Sunday. And, of course, Holiday Joke Night is on this Tuesday coming up.
All right. Holiday jokes. Okay. I will get Mr. Maggot. Are we rated Maggot or are we rated regular?
It's Holiday Joke Night.
Okay. I'll let him know.
AJ will be AJ.
Yes, yes, he will. All right, guys, thanks a lot. Scorekeeper, take us out.
Peace. We'll see you guys on the other side. Now we'll do it.
Peace. Take care, guys. Have a great weekend.